I do, though. I enjoy watching people, and it's absolutely amazing how much you can learn about people without ever talking to them. You can learn things about people by the style of the clothes they wear. You can learn about people by the way they do their hair, or those that don't have hair. I didn't want to leave everybody out, or you can learn about people by the type of vehicle they drive. You can learn about people by the types of bumper stickers they put on their vehicles. You can learn about people by the type of work they do. You can go by somebody's house and tell something about them by what lays around the yard or what the inside of their house is decorated like. You can tell something about people by the music they listen to and the books they read, the type of shows they like to watch, the people they like to talk about. You can tell something about people by their tattoos and their body piercings. Where they go on vacation will tell you something about people. How they spend their spare time will tell you something about people. So you can learn a great deal of information about people without ever holding a conversation with them. And that is also true with our Creator. And we can learn a tremendous amount of things about God, our Creator, without ever talking to Him. As you know, last week we looked at what God's Word teaches us about how God created the heavens and the earth in six literal 24-hour days, as opposed to all the hollow and deceptive philosophies of man and how everything just kind of came in being over time. Well, this morning, I want us to turn our attention to what we can learn about God just as a result of creation alone. What are some of the purposes of creation from God's perspective? What can we learn about God from creation? So with that, let's take our Bibles out, and I want you to turn to two places. The first one, you'll need to put your finger there. The first one's going to be Psalm 19, and when you get there, put your finger there, and then go ahead and flip to Romans chapter 1. When you get those two areas of Scripture found, give me I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Oh my, there's going to be a fight. Psalm 19, Romans 1. All right, there's a gift certificate for her. She was first. I'm sorry, that wasn't in the script. Psalm 19, Romans 1. And they're not right next to each other. Okay. I notice Richard is yet to say it. All right, we're going to start with Romans 1. Are we ready? Verse 18 through 20 says, "The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness." Verse 19, "Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them." Verse 20, that's the key here. "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power, divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without an excuse." All right, Psalm 19. You guys there? All right. 1-4 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge." It says, "There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the end of the world." We hear over and over that if you want to know God, you have to read the Bible. And even though there's a great deal of truth in that, we can learn a great deal about God just through creation and nature alone. If you remember, I just read in Romans 1:20, and it said, since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, and it announced two of them there. It says His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen and understood from what has been made. And then we looked at Psalm 19, verses 1 and 2, and it says there that the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. It says, day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they display knowledge. Folks, you can learn a tremendous amount of things about God by simply observing creation without ever having opened His Word. As a matter of fact, Scripture teaches there in Romans 1 that creation and nature alone reveal so much about God that some people will be eternally judged based on what they know just through creation alone. And I will talk more about that in a few minutes. But first, I want to deal with the things that Romans 1 and Psalm 19 tells us that we can learn about God through creation. These verses tells us that we can learn about God's invisible qualities. Through creation, we can learn about His eternal power. Through creation, we can learn about His divine nature. Through creation, we can learn about His work and His knowledge. Just through creation alone, without ever opening the Bible. Having said that, let's begin with God's invisible qualities. When Paul said that nature reveals to us God's invisible qualities, what is he saying? He was saying that we can learn a great deal about God's invisible attributes, His personality traits, just through the visible things we see in creation. For example, take a minute and let's just consider the animal kingdom only. Some animals live in water. Some live on land. Some live in both water and land. Some land animals live in trees, others live on the ground, and some live below the ground in burrows and dens. Some animals walk, some run, some crawl, some fly, some swim. Some animals have fur, others have skin, some have scales. Animals come in solid color, some have stripes, some have spots, others can change colors. Some animals have toes, some have hoofs, some have webbed feet and claws. Some don't even have legs or feet at all. And then there are some that have wings. Some come out in the daytime, others come out at night. Some animals are vegetarians, some are meat eaters, some are bloodsuckers. Some animals have to eat every day, some can go for months between meals. Some animals lay eggs, others do not. Some animals are poisonous, others are not. Some animals bark, some meow, some growl, some moo, some chirp, others cluck. Some hiss, some yelp, others snort. Just the animal kingdom alone tells me that within God's invisible qualities are the characteristics of Him being creative, artistic, imaginative, and ingenious. And if you thought that in relation to animals and you thought through the plant kingdom, you would come to the same conclusions. You can look at the animal kingdom, the plant kingdom, and you can come up with God's invisible qualities. When you watch how female animals care for their young, you can learn something about God's personality. We've all seen the videos or seen firsthand or National Geographic or whatever where the mothers in the animal kingdom, they take care of their babies naturally. They clean them, they feed them, they play with them, they'll protect them and so on, they defend them. How do they know how to do all that? Because God implanted it into their nature. They don't have to go take a child care class. They don't have to read a book on mothering. They don't have to watch a DVD training course on how to care for their young. They just care for their young by instinct. And so why would God place in the nature of a mother animal to be loving, to be caring? nurturing, affectionate, and protective towards her young, because it's already in his nature to be like that with us, his own creatures. God didn't invent those characteristics and decide to just plant them in the animals. Those characteristics were already in him, and he just passed them on to his creatures. He's already loving and caring and nurturing and affectionate and protective towards us, his creatures. And he put those characteristics in the mothers of animal kingdom. David wrote in Psalm 19 that the heavens and the skies display God's knowledge. Psalm 104, verse 24, for those taking notes, says, how many are your works, O Lord? In wisdom you made them all. The earth is full of your creatures. Folks, creation reveals the characteristic of God that he is omniscient, meaning he knows everything. Everything God created reveals his knowledge and his wisdom in one way or another. He knew every minute detail of how everything needed to be created so that everything he created could survive. Let's just take, for example, the distance between the sun and the earth. God knew somewhere in all that the earth needed to have 93 million miles between it and the sun. God knew there needed to be 93 million miles between the sun and the earth so that you and I could survive. If the earth was any closer to the sun, we would burn up. If the earth was any further away from the sun, we would freeze to death. Venus sits at 900 degrees Fahrenheit. We couldn't live there. Mars sits at 81 degrees below zero. We couldn't live there. God knew the earth where we live needed to be 93 million miles from the sun. God knew there needed to be 93 million miles between the sun and the earth so that the earth's hydrological system would work. The earth's hydrological system is necessary for the survival of life on earth. Without it, there would be no rain. If there was no rain, there wouldn't be any plants, there wouldn't be any crops, there wouldn't be any fruits or vegetables for man or animals to eat. If the earth was any hotter, all the water would evaporate, therefore leaving us no drinking water, water for crops. If the earth was any colder, all the water would freeze. Therefore, wouldn't be able to evaporate to get the hydrological cycle to work. God knew how to do that, and he knew we needed 93 million miles between us and the sun to do that. Then we have the atmosphere that surrounds the earth. And that also is designed for our survival. It provides protection for us from the sun's deadly radiation. It provides a canopy that holds the nitrogen at 78% and the oxygen at 21% that we need to have on earth just to survive. Remove the atmosphere and you have instant death. Think about this. God knew that we needed gravity for survival. The earth rotates. It spins at 1,070 miles an hour. If it was not for gravity holding us down, we would be slung all over space. As you know, I haven't even begun to scratch the surface on how creation reveals the wisdom and knowledge of God. We could spend years on the subject alone and not even begin to do it any justice. Just the complexity of the human body and how it functions is beyond our comprehension. The complexity of the various reproductive systems of man and animals and plants are all beyond human comprehension. God had the knowledge and he had the wisdom on how to create everything in an orderly fashion so that everything would work. Psalm 19 says, the skies proclaim the work of God's hands. Not the hands of evolution, not the hands of Mother Nature, but his hands, God's hands. There is no one that would have created things the way God did. No one. His fingerprints are all over creation. His DNA is all over creation. The Bible says that a person is a fool to think otherwise. And that takes me to what Paul said in the book of Romans that we looked at. He said, creation alone gives us some insight into God's divine nature. Creation shows God's supremacy. It shows His preeminence. It shows His superiority over all things. Mother Nature cannot outdo God in creation, nor can Mother Nature undo God's creation. God created it all. He oversees it all. It is His to do with it what He wants. Back in the book of Job, Job had been making some false accusations against God. And God decides He's going to kind of set Job straight. And so He begins asking Job a series of 70-some questions, all to kind of help put Job back in his place. And I want to read some of those questions for you in the book of Job. Here's just a few of them. God says to the snow, fall on the earth, and to the rain shower, be a mighty downpour. It said the breath of God produces ice, and the broad waters become frozen. He loads the clouds with moisture. He scatters lightning through them. At God's direction, they swirl around over the face of the whole earth to do whatever He commands them. It says, God brings the clouds to punish men or water His earth and show His love. He asked Job, he says, have you entered the storehouses of the snow or seen the storehouses of the hail, which I reserve for times of trouble and days of war and battle? He said, who cuts a channel for the torrents of rain and a path for the thunderstorm? He asked Job, he said, from whose womb comes the ice? Who gives birth to the frost from the heavens when the waters become hard as stone, when the surface of the deep is frozen? And he said, can you, Job, raise your voice to the clouds and cover yourself with a flood of water? He said, do you send the lightning bolts on their way? Do they report to you, here we are? He said, who has the wisdom to count the clouds? Who can tip over the water jars of the heavens when the dust becomes hard and the clouds of earth stick together? And so folks, creation gives us some insight into God's divine nature. Creation reveals God as the governor, master, and ruler of all things. Paul also said in Romans 1 that creation, or through creation, we can learn about God's eternal power. And that speaks of God's enduring, everlasting power to sustain or maintain everything He's ever created or will create. See, God did not create everything and then just walk away from it. The Bible says that after He created everything, He then became the sustainer of everything. Colossians 1:16 and 17 says this, for by Him, speaking of Jesus, it says, for by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by Him and for Him. And then in verse 17 it says, He, speaking of Jesus, is before all things, and in Him, it says, all things hold together. See, if God were ever to quit maintaining His creation, it would end instantly. Do you know why after 6,000 years of the earth being in existence, it has not drifted any closer to or further away from the sun? Do you know why after the earth being here 6,000 years, the atmosphere is still protecting us from the sun's radiation? Do you know why after 6,000 years of the earth being in existence, the atmosphere still maintains the proper levels of nitrogen and oxygen that we need to survive? You know why the ecological and hydrological cycles still do their job? Do you know why gravity still holds us to this earth so we don't go flying out in space as it spins at over 1,000 miles an hour? Because God is sustaining it all. He holds the universe together. And let me add this, if He's holding the universe together, if He's sustaining all of this, our problems are not out of His abilities either. When you see God's eternal power sustaining all of creation, you can learn that He is a faithful Creator because He keeps His creation properly functioning in working order. And He has been doing that for 6,000 years. Now, I want to challenge you with something. As you go through the coming week, I would certainly encourage you to spend time in God's Word. Matter of fact, I would encourage you, as you go through this upcoming week, to read Job chapter 38 through 42. It's all about creation. But here's the bigger challenge for you. Job 38 through 42, spend time reading that. But here's the challenge. As you go through your week, challenge yourself to try and learn about God through the things, the events, and the people around you. Through nature. What does rain say about God? What does the sunshine or the moon say about God? What does the stars tell you about God? What does your pets or your animals tell you about God? Other people's actions. What about trees and what have you? What do they tell you about God? The produce you get at the grocery, the farmer's market. What does that tell you about God? The news you read or hear about. What does those things tell you about God? If you try, you can learn something about God in just about anything. I remember when I first moved here, I stayed at the Knox's residence. Such memory. And in the mornings, I would get up and walk the cemetery for my prayer time. And just being in the cemetery, all them tombstones told me God is real. Because He told us why there's tombstones. This thing called sin. And so as you go through this coming week, see what you can learn about God through the things and people around you. And finally, as I begin to wrap up, I want to take a moment to discuss something else that God reveals to us through His creation. David said in Psalm 19:1 that the heavens declare the glory of God. And folks, that just pretty much sums everything up we've been talking about. The glory of God, it speaks of His brilliance and His grandeur. Speaks of His magnificence and His majesty. Just viewing nature and meditating on all the things that God created will paint a picture of His characteristics, His personality, His knowledge, His wisdom, His enduring power, His sovereign oversight. Scripture alone paints a picture of God's glory. But then the Bible comes along and it just fine-tunes that picture. It brings it into sharper focus. See, creation and the Bible, they complement each other. One supports the other. For example, the Bible tells us how much God loves us and cares for us. And God's created nature proves it by supplying us with food and water and the air we breathe and so on. But something else the Bible does is it enlarges our understanding of creation. In other words, it tells us things that we cannot learn just from creation alone. For example, nature alone tells us that God does judge sin to some degree. But the Bible tells us that there is an eternal judgment to come for sin. Sometimes people will ask, will God send people to hell that live in the remote jungles around the world that have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ? I've heard that question multitudes of times over the years. They say, well, will God send the secluded tribal people, like the Aborigines, into an eternal damnation if they've never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ? And the answer to that is this. God says that He reveals Himself to everyone in one way or another, to one degree or another, just through creation alone. Romans 1. And based upon what they do, with the amount of information they are being given through creation alone, will determine where they spend eternity. Let me read for you the verses we've been looking at this morning in their fullness. Psalm 19 again. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day, those skies and those heavens pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. Verse 3, there is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. In other words, it's worldwide where the heavens and the skies speak. It says their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. Now let me paraphrase that for you. Day in and day out, the heavens and the skies inaudibly speaks to the hearts and minds of mankind about a glorious Creator no matter where they live. That's what them four verses tells us. Up to this point, we have focused on how creation reveals God's love, His wisdom, His sovereignty, His glory, and so on. But God also reveals through nature that He judges sin. Early, I'd read a portion of Romans 1, 18 through 20. Now, I want to read for you its entirety, and I believe I already did that, but I want to do it again. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Man does not have to read the Bible to know that God judges sin. God uses nature to tell us that as well. It says the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Then it goes on in verse 19. It says, since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. Verse 20, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power, and His divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made. And it ends by saying, so that men are without excuse. Folks, it does not matter where a person is in this world, no matter how remote it is. God tells us in His Word that He has at least spoken to them to some degree just through the channel of creation alone. There will not be a single person that will stand before God and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I didn't know anything about You. I didn't even know You existed. I would have worshipped You if I only knew. Why can't they say that? Because Romans 1:20 says, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power, His divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without an excuse. A person may never hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. They may never meet a missionary. They may never see a Bible. But we can be assured that some way, somehow, God will speak to them through His creation, both about His love and His judgment, even if we don't understand it, because Scripture says so. And so before we sing our closing song, I want to ask you a question. When everything is said, done, and over with, will you be ready to meet your Creator? That is the question. If you have never given your life to Jesus Christ, you can do that today, right where you sit. You can come up here to the altar in this final song. I would love to talk to you after church if that would be your desire. But here's what I know. Is there will not be a person on the face of the earth when they stand before God that will have an excuse as to why they did not commit their lives to the Lord. Father, we just come before you this morning, and you look down from where you sit on the throne, and you know the hearts of every individual in here. Your love abounds, your grace abounds, your mercy abounds, your forgiveness is available. Father, I pray if there's anyone in here that has not yielded to you and just committed themselves to you, Lord, that you will work in their hearts today to draw them to you. And that, Lord, as we leave here today and we just spend life in this world in the upcoming week, I pray that we get a good glimpse of you in and through it all, because you are all around us, just in your creation alone. It talks very loudly about who you are and the kind of God you are, and we praise you for who you are. In Christ's name, amen.